Roger Goodell, you've done it again. You red-haired monster, you. You have upheld the suspension of Tom Brady. We're going to talk about that on the Fantasy Football Today podcast without Adam Azer hosting. But I'm here. I'm Dave Richard. Jamie Eisenberg's here. He's Jamie Eisenberg. Say something, Jamie Eisenberg.
You forgot to give the day and the date.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to give credit to the people listening that they know what day it is and what date it is.
So it's Thursday, April 25th, 2020.
I can't help it if you don't have a calendar.
True.
And now I'd like to introduce the new host of Fantasy Football Today, podcast version, the one, the only, the legend, Heath W. Cummings.
Heath W. Cummings. Nobody knows what the W stands for. In the battle of Heath versus Adam, it seems like the W stands for winner.
Mm.
Because
it is, wow. The standings say Heath 1-0, Adam 0-1.
Adam talked a lot of trash.
He did.
And I got tired of it, and so I punched him in the mouth.
Wow.
And he didn't come to work today.
Yeah.
So
and now you're
here. We are, a
wow.
Three-man podcast without Adam.
Would you like to drive the show and host it so you can show everybody your incredible hosting skills? Because otherwise, Jamie and I are going to do it, and it's going to get sloppy.
Well, I feel like there has to be a driver, and Adam does such a good job of that. I wouldn't want to ever act like I could possibly do it.
Well, now you're complimenting
him. Yeah, I'm impressed you're saying something nice about him.
Well, I always, and that's the thing. I think that's the reason that Adam lost round one.
Well,
I was always nice to him, and he was always sour to me.
You're a tall guy. How tall are you?
6'3".
6'3". And you weigh?
In the 200-pound range.
Okay, so Adam's about 5'3", and he weighs about 75 pounds soaking wet.
Yes, we're not in the same weight class.
I'm going to guess if you tied one hand behind your back.
Yes.
Maybe if you tied both hands behind your back, I still would put money on you in the one-on-one battle with Azer.
Well, he knows. You know, he's built more like a wrestler. So I could see Adam in a singlet.
The Divas, Adam is Divas, built like a wrestler?
The Divas division?
In the Divas division.
Like Dangerous, yes. Danny Davis?
No, I was thinking more like Sable.
Oh, no, he is not built.
He's
like
not
Sable.
Built like Sable. I'm
I
really
have seen Sable.
Why I'm going this angle? What happens after every podcast that we do together? We get a tweet from
Adam.
No, not from Adam.
Oh,
people
from
listening.
The
from Ethan in West Virginia, or from Sketcherdoodle about
Sketcherdoodle.
I don't want to see Adam's head on Sable's body.
Adam. And me wrestling.
Yes, that'd be interesting. I'm sure Sketcherdoodle will have it done.
Yes.
All right, we're getting off track here.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Who would win a fight between Roger Goodell and Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Could say for now that Goodell has won in the win column, but that's for now.
So
and we hate it because Brady suspended four games.
We had a big news day on Tuesday. We also had a mock draft on Tuesday, our 12-team PPR draft. And let's start. Tom Brady was suspended his four-game suspension was upheld by Goodell. Clearly, this is going to court. We have not heard the end of this. Robert Kraft on Wednesday morning, we're recording this on Wednesday, said he wishes he didn't take the steps that he did to back off of the initial penalty from the NFL.
He said he lost faith in the league.
Yeah, he's upset.
Yeah.
And you know, you wonder if he – well, I mean, he basically said it. He thought that if he did what he did, the league would be a little bit lenient toward Brady's suspension. A lot of talk about, you know, potential settlements that happened before the appeal hearing was done. So this is not done yet by far, but Heath, you've been not a fan of Tom Brady's fantasy value coming into the season.
Right.
How does this sort of impact where you are right now? Does it make it worse, or is he kind of in the same
position? It doesn't make it any worse, and I almost feel like in some convoluted way it might make it better. Because I do think now that there was a chance, a very slim chance, that they were going to negotiate it down to a two-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to miss two games for sure. And I've said before that I think he's a lower-tier quarterback one if he plays 16 games. And now that the NFL's bowed their back like this, I don't see any outcome other than Tom Brady suing. And if Tom Brady sues, I think he's probably going to play 16 games this year if he's not hurt. Because there's no way. We know how the legal system works.
Right.
Mm. I mean, we're sitting here almost in August. There's no way it gets resolved before the season starts.
No.
So he's going to get
the injunction.
If he gets the injunction, he's playing all year.
The one question I have, though, is let's just say this is heard during the season.
Yeah, I don't think it will be.
It won't
be. I agree, but let's just say in a strange situation that it
is.
Can he still be suspended at any point during the season for four games?
Oh, I think
if,
so.
If the ruling goes in the NFL's
favor. I think that can definitely happen. But like Heath said, courts move slowly. And I don't – when's the last time – there's been a bunch of these things where there's situations involving the legal system and players and whether they can or can't play. When's the last time one was resolved during the season?
They specifically make it to where it's not
– Well, sure. Marshawn Lynch's was pushed back for almost 2 years.
Right.
You had that the way that played out. Yeah, I was just thinking
just
out
loud. Spitball. And if it does happen, then the guy that's got Tom Brady can just go to the waiver wire and pick somebody up or trade for a quarterback.
Are we
going to
talk about how this is like the stupidest controversy in the history of sports?
It's really, really dumb.
It's so stupid.
History of sports. That's pretty good. Yeah.
I'll say this.
I mean, there's been worse controversies and
there's been controversies that are legitimate.
Yeah, there's never been anything stupider than this.
Deflategate.
Deflategate.
It's stupid. But the one thing the only reason why I think Goodell, first of all, I thought Goodell would have just thrown the whole thing out and said, listen, it's clear that something happened. We don't know what. Can't prove it.
Right.
But in the interest of the game and in the interest of Tom Brady, who has played at a high level and represented the game, I, as commissioner, will throw this out. I thought that something like that could
happen. Well, the thing that's been the precedent is obviously Bountygate, where the team was penalized, right, but also individual players. Mm-hmm. He could have gotten away with it.
And there was hard evidence in that.
To your point, though, he could have gotten away with the team's been penalized, whether Brady himself said deflate the footballs or the ball boys took it upon themselves to deflate the footballs. The team's been punished. Let's just let the Brady thing get swept under the rug. But he put himself in a corner where he had to do this.
Yeah. I also wonder how much of a role other teams played in this because, what if...
Well, there was the Ravens report.
Seahawks, yeah, right. The Ravens owner, Steve Biscotti, saying that he thought that, Goodell should throw the book at him. I wonder if a lot of the other influential owners in the league went to Goodell and said, if you know what's good for you, you'll stick to your guns on this. Because the owners might look at this a totally different way than we do. We think this is stupid. The owners might say, this is cheating.
Well, sure.
This is the integrity of our game. This is our livelihood. If you let this slide, people are going to say that we let cheating happen.
Okay. I don't believe. I think everybody that's in the league knows that there was no consistency when it came to the inflation
not.
Of balls.
And other quarterbacks have said as much.
Right.
Retired and active.
So we'll see. Obviously, if you're on the Brady side, you're going to, fantasy-wise, if you're on the Brady side, you're going to draft him where you've been drafting.
Yeah, I love this for him because you're going to find him round six, round seven, maybe even later than that.
I moved him down in my rankings because I think the way I viewed it, comparing him, the one guy that I'm still stuck on is Stafford, but Roethlisberger, Brady, to me, there's not much difference. Roethlisberger's better last year. Tony Romo, Brady, there's not much difference between these guys. I think Romo can have a better year this year than he did last
Romo's
year.
Romo's certainly safer in that, and he's going to play more games.
Let's just say that the junction causes Brady 16 games. I'm still looking at it that way, 16 games. Russell Wilson, you said he's the third best quarterback. A lot of people feel that same way. I think Russell Wilson has a better chance than Tom Brady this year as well. So I moved all those guys ahead of Brady. And right now, like I said, I have Stafford ahead of him. That's the one guy that I'm toying with back and forth. Right now, Stafford's ahead. But
for me, if Brady plays 16 games, he's my number three quarterback.
Wow.
Number three.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I don't see the Patriots having a sound running game.
Yeah,
this
but
year,
I also see that offensive line being worse. I see that division.
I don't think it's any worse than
being
it was.
Better.
How long is
every
that
division defense
is better,
got
but he's
better?
He's going to have to throw. That's true.
Yeah, but he's got Brandon LaFell in the walking boot right now. That's not a good situation.
He'll be fine.
Well, I mean, he'll be fine. You hear his doctor?
Wait. He's still in the walking boot? I thought he shed the walking boot.
Okay. He's on the pup list.
To me, in New England, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
In any event, this is where people fall with Tom Brady. So you say three, you say what? Is he top 12 for you? 16 games.
Play 16 games. I think he's right around 9 or 10.
That's where I have.
Right.
So
I've got him 8th right now.
All right. So we did get some good news, though. We can move through this quickly because I don't think we need to debate it very much. Le'Veon Bell suspension reduced from 3 games to 2. You've had him number one all along, Dave. I moved him up to number one. I think he's got the opportunity now to have a fantastic season, Heath.
Yeah, I'll take him number one.
Number one, okay.
14 of 16 games last year with double digits in fantasy points.
He's
great.
That's
unheard of at running back. And even though he's got a game at Seattle this year, and even though he comes back week three against the Rams in St. Louis, he can contribute in those games.
The more interesting thing probably for us to debate is Todd Gurley.
Oh, and Le'Veon's healthy.
You
mentioned that.
Todd Gurley, another guy who's healthy, is going to avoid the pup list to open training camp. So he is now eligible, assuming that nothing happens, to play week one. There was the thought maybe he'd go on the pup list, which would have taken him out for the first 6 weeks.
Right.
And you moved him up. I saw it, Dave.
He is number 18 for me among running backs.
I still have Todd Gurley exactly where I'm going to keep him, which is 25 in my 24 in standard, 25 in PPR. I am still not reaching for Todd Gurley because I expect it to be a split. I don't like the offense. I don't like the division. I'm still a little leery about his knee having somewhat of an issue. Keith, where do you stand on Todd Gurley?
I'm much closer to 24, 25 than I am to 18. Yep. I kind of feel the same. I'm a big Trey Mason guy, so my feelings are kind of hurt they drafted Todd Gurley in the first place. And, I mean, the website says Mason's still likely to start week one. If he's good, he's not just going to completely disappear from the offense.
It's not going to be like where Stacy was gone and Mason took over. It's not going to be like where who did Stacy take over for? I'm blanking on it. 2 years prior to that? After the first five games. Oh, it was Daryl Richardson, where Richardson was terrible, and right. Stacy took over, and Richardson was gone. Mason's not going to disappear. He's going to be a part of this offense.
Huh? If you wanted to not have a controversy, which running back controversies don't really happen, the other side you could look at it as they're saying Mason's going to start week one because it's against Seattle. He probably will look terrible in that game.
Well, he was good against Seattle at home last year.
That's true.
And it is Seattle at home this year. And look, we're all saying Seattle, Seattle, Seattle. At some point, defenses tend to fall off. We've seen this happen with these guys that play all these games.
Is Earl Thomas playing in that game?
Who?
Or which safety is the one that's banged up for Seattle?
I think Chancellor's banged up.
All of them,
Chancellor,
right?
Chancellor or Earl Thomas?
They're all hurt. I mean.
Right.
So
I mean, look, there's a chance they can go into that game and let down a little
bit.
Look,
he doesn't have to have a good fantasy game to have a good NFL game. If his pass protection is good, if he gets around 4 to 4.5 yards a carry, mm-hmm. if he makes one or two electric plays to put them in scoring position, he could get you 6 or 7 fantasy points, which isn't going to help your week. But he may have a good game from a Rams perspective. I just don't think Trey Mason's going to disappear like these other guys have.
I think they're going to run the ball as much as possible. And the track record of their new offensive coordinator suggests that. You look at Fisher's history.
But is that a good thing for Gurley?
Yeah, because Trey Mason will take work away from him. I'm not denying that. But eventually, they view Todd Gurley as the next Adrian Peterson.
Sure.
They love him. And the fact that he's active now and isn't going to be put on the pup list at all suggests that he'll be ready to go with plenty of practice time in between by week one. We're going to see this guy in the preseason. Of course, I reserve the right to move him back down to that 24-25 range. But right now, I saw this guy play in college. I'm impressed by him. I think St. Louis is going to try and force feed the ball as much as they can to both running backs. But I think Gurley will eventually have the heavier hand, including at the goal line. You're not going to see Trey Mason at the goal line.
Oh, no, but I think
he's
going to see. And
Gurley's got that type of ceiling that when you're looking at running backs in the, this is for me, this isn't for you, the Carlos Hyde, Joik Bell, Mark Ingram, Latavius Murray,
can we
TJ
bet? Let's bet,
range.
Let's bet Ingram versus Gurley.
Yeah, I'll take Gurley over
Ingram.
Okay,
what's the bet? Lunch?
Sure.
All right.
We can do a lunch.
I'll take Ingram. The thing I think he's going to see 15 guys at the line of scrimmage. I think he's in the toughest division.
He's used to that.
To run. He's used to that?
Yeah, you saw him at Georgia.
Well, okay. He's going to face a very difficult division, clearly. It's not going to be pretty for Todd Gurley this year, but we'll see how it all shakes out. Eric Berry is cancer-free.
One thing
we'll
I wanted to say,
practice
one last
with
thing
the
about
team.
Gurley. Don't stop me when I'm on a roll.
We are officially 18 minutes into the podcast.
We have plenty of time to talk about Todd Gurley. Eric Berry's cancer-free and will practice with a team. That's great news for the Chiefs and for the Chiefs
defense. Let's get the Eric Berry news out
and,
there.
Chip Kelly's going to use
– That's important for fantasy because everybody's drafting Eric Berry.
Chip Kelly's going to use multiple running backs. We already knew that, so we'll see how it all shakes out. All right, we did a PPR mock draft yesterday on Tuesday. We 12 teams. We're going to be doing a boatload of mock drafts over the next few weeks, so get ready for a lot of that. And on Friday, our next podcast, we're going to do a 2-quarterback draft during the show. So that's always fun. I think we did that last year as well. Hopefully it goes swimmingly. All right, so round one, we did the draft after the news happened with Bell, with Brady, and I think Gurley's in the stuff happened after the draft also. So round one may seem a little bit different from where we're telling you about Le'Veon Bell, but I think Le'Veon Bell is still, I don't know how your responses were. When I changed my rankings, I still got, I don't like Le'Veon first overall. I want to have my first guy, my top player missing 2 games. So people still have that sentiment, which is totally understandable. So the first round went, and feel free to jump in at any point with anything that stands out to you. Eddie Lacy, Jamal Charles, Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell fourth, Matt Forte fifth, C.J. Anderson, Rob Gronkowski, Arian Foster, Dez Bryant, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, DeMarco Murray. So it was 1, 2, 3 receivers in the first round, as well as Gronkowski. typical of the way you think a PPR draft will go, or atypical, Heath?
I think that's pretty typical. I think I could even still see another wide receiver going, and I wouldn't be too, I mean, I took Julio with the very next pick, so I guess that's pretty close to another wide receiver in the first round. Yes, I think that's pretty close. C.J. Anderson going before Gronk, and even before, I'm not sure I like him over Dez or Antonio Brown, so I'm not sure if I like that too much. I just think in a PPR draft especially, you're talking about Dez, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, Julio, Calvin Johnson. Those guys are safer than Arian Foster and C.J. Anderson, in my opinion.
But not safer than DeMarco Murray.
No. No, DeMarco Murray should have been taken six picks before that.
Wow. You love DeMarco Murray.
Yes. I'm not taking him as the number one overall running back. I'm saying he should go as the number five or six running back. That's quite a fall.
To say that he's safer than those guys, given everything that we know about these running backs with 370 carries, 400 touches, yeah. The fact that LeSean McCoy was crushed as a receiver last year, specifically for PPR because of Darren Sproles, you're not scared at all.
No. How about this quote that Chip Kelly had that you glossed over, saying that he thinks, quote, we probably relied on one running back too much in the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And he says right here in the quote, Ryan and DeMarco are very similar in terms of how they run and what they're doing. So it's almost like you think you catch your breath when you take DeMarco out of the game, but then here comes Ryan. That's going to be a real difficult task for people, meaning it's going to be a difficult task.
Oh, Ryan Matthews is going...
Yeah, I mean,
to get a chunk of it,
I don't think you're going to see DeMarco Murray get definitely not 492. Is that what the number
was?
That's
what the playoffs, though. So.
Right, so even 392?
No.
I don't think he gets anywhere near there.
No, he doesn't need that much to be a five or the fifth or sixth running back.
260 carries. See, I think he does. I think volume is going to be important.
The thing that really scares me is the catches. I mean, they love Sproles in that role,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so.
LeSean even said something about that.
Yep. I don't like that the receivers weren't what they did. They should go much higher in this format. Gronk and Brown should be where Anderson and you could argue where Forte is.
You would take a receiver if you were picking fifth.
Where Anderson was.
You would take Antonio Brown ahead of C.J. Anderson, ahead of Foster,
yep.
and ahead of Gronkowski, or would you take Gronkowski ahead?
No, Gronk to me is still ahead of the receivers just because of the position.
I mean, I'm looking at the number five running back last year. He got 298 touches. Mm-hmm. Number six got 288.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarco Murray is going to get that many touches.
If he stays healthy.
250 also... carries, 38 catches. He could get that potentially in 14 games.
Yeah.
All right. He's just got to back it up with good rushing
average.
And I don't
think he's more of an injury risk than Arian Foster.
And I do think Philadelphia ideally wants to
He's missed
to
more time than
20.
Foster.
What's that?
I don't think he's missed. I think Foster's missed more time.
In the last... Well, yeah, I guess
years.
He played 16.
Foster games. Had a half season in there.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm one of those guys that took Foster ahead of the wide receivers.
Why?
Well, at the time when I made the pick, it was because I figured I'd get a stud wide receiver in round two. I didn't think Marshawn Lynch would fall into my breadbasket in round two.
He's going to be a round two guy. Foster's going to be a round two guy in most PPR drafts just based on ADP.
No, I think Foster could end up sneaking into the back end.
I understand what you think. I'm just telling you what average draft position data is available on other sites now.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are not round one guys. They're round two guys.
Okay, good for them. But the idea of taking Foster was I know how thin running back will get. And my draft was very strange to me. I took Foster thinking, all right, I'm going to get a stud wide receiver in round two. When I was up in round two, Marshawn Lynch was still on the board. The best wide receiver on the board was Jordy Nelson, A.J. Green, Randall Cobb. Take your pick from those three. I didn't pass on Marshawn Lynch, even though, 35-plus catches, and the plus is like one or two more, 35 catches effectively each of the last two seasons. But dominant as a running back, and I know the positions then, so I thought to myself, I'll just wait and get my first receiver in round three. The exact same thinking when I took Foster in round one. I don't know how far ahead I'm getting of it.
Well, no, we're going to round
two picks, but that's it's not like I had this. The plan was to take a wide receiver in round two after I took Foster in round one because I like Foster and I think he's going to have another year with tons of work.
Oh, he absolutely should.
It's just a matter of where he stacks up. Change of plans based on what happened in the draft sent me to Lynch in round two.
Right. So you picked at number eight. I picked at number 11. Heath picked at 12. So as Dave said, he took Foster. I took Demaryius Thomas. I knew I was going receiver. I almost had Antonio Brown fall into my lap, which I was really excited about. I'm happy with Demaryius Thomas. You're obviously happy with DeMarco Murray. And then you back that up with Julio Jones to start round two. Calvin Johnson was next. LeSean McCoy, Odell Beckham, Marshawn Lynch, Jeremy Hill, Justin Forsett, Jordy Nelson, A.J. Green, Randall Cobb, Mike Evans, and Emmanuel Sanders. The fact that Justin Forsett went ahead of Jordy Nelson and A.J. Green and probably Randall Cobb, Mike Evans, is, to me, is pretty terrible.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's somebody who seemingly panicked and needed a running back.
I still
but
don't.
I think the owner who took Forsett did take a running back in round one.
And I don't think as
they took Anderson.
I didn't like that pick at all, but I don't think it was the worst pick of the second round.
You think it was who?
Emmanuel Sanders at the end
at
of the second
end of round.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the thing that people are going to fall in love with Emmanuel Sanders. If you like him, it's, and no offense, Heath, but I think some people are doing it with DeMarco Murray, too. You're looking at last year's numbers,
yeah,
and you're saying, okay, has he ascended to this level of greatness? And Peyton Manning's back, and they lose Julius Thomas, they lose Wes Welker. That's a lot of targets that have to be distributed. I just think, and I'm sure you probably agree, based on what you said, that the change in system,
right,
less plays, less passing plays, are going to lead to a downturn for Emmanuel Sanders. And he said so himself. You know, so that's a little troubling.
And let's not act like Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I am looking a little bit at what Murray did last year. But let's not act like Emmanuel Sanders is as talented as DeMarco Murray is.
Oh, well, and also position scarcity. I mean,
right,
you know, if Emmanuel Sanders was a running back putting up those numbers, clearly he would be in a much more favorable situation. So, yeah, Emmanuel Sanders at the end of round two. But the fact is at the end of round two, and again, looking at what Jordy should be able to do, what A.J. Green I think is going to bounce back in a big way in a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
I like Justin Forsett. I think he's a top 12 running back in PPR. You've already illustrated on a previous podcast that his average draft position is too high. I think that's standard,
yep,
more so than PPR.
It's standard.
He's in this range. Let's not, you know, totally give
Is it a terrible idea to take Justin Forsett with a late second-round pick?
If those running backs are available,
but again, Jordy should be better.
Right, but I'm just making the argument that those wide receivers are off the board.
Okay, then
is that a good time for Justin
take Alshon
Forsett?
Jeffrey over him. I take Jimmy Graham over him. I take T.Y. Hilton over him. He's a round three guy. I just don't know how much of a difference between Justin Forsett and Frank Gore there's really going to be. Or even Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm. I think we went a full round after Forsett was drafted before another running back went off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the worst places, and I noticed this as drafts are going on. I'd much rather be the guy that's starting the run on a position than ending the run on a position.
Right, absolutely.
And Justin Forsett ended the run on running backs until a full round later when we got Frank Gore, Andre Ellington, who I think probably a little too early.
Yep.
Melvin Gordon, Lamar Miller.
Yep.
See, the owner who took Anderson and Forsett could have had Jordy Nelson in round two and Frank Gore in round three. I would much rather and what he ended up doing was Anderson, Forsett, and Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that's not a good start.
No, I would much rather have Anderson, Jordy, and Gore.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Or, wouldn't you?
Or Brown.
Everybody listening at home, wouldn't you?
Or Brown, Jordy, and then Gore. To me, that's better, too.
Yeah, I mean, and
a lot of catches.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that C.J. Anderson isn't going to catch.
No, but C.J. Anderson is great, but it's just a matter of. And I'm going to look at this while we're talking. I want to see where some of these running backs stacked up compared to the receivers last year, PPR-wise. Round three was Alshon Jeffrey, Jimmy Graham, Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Aaron Rodgers. So the quarterbacks are now starting to come off the board. Julian Edelman, Calvin Benjamin, Frank Gore, Andre Ellington, Melvin Gordon, Lamar Miller, Brandon Cooks. Okay, so this is going to be sort of where you took a very unique strategy that I don't think a lot of people are going to follow, especially in PPR leagues. You took a third running back in Frank Gore. I took my first running back in Lamar Miller, which after going receiver, this to me was a home run.
Yeah,
getting a guy like this. And your pick also was very good, getting Cooks at the end of round three.
I was really surprised. And I guess as I was watching this unfold, right before your pick, I'm thinking, okay, there's four guys in front of me. Frank Gore, Melvin Gordon, and Lamar Miller are all still there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my second running back here and be really thrilled with who it is.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize until after I got done pouting over you guys taking all those guys right in front of me that Brandon Cooks is still there. And I was like, well, I'll take Brandon Cooks right there.
Cooks is a good consolation prize.
Yes.
The three guys that I toyed with, if I was going to lose on a running back, because, look, Ellington going before those guys, before Gordon and Miller, we don't agree with.
That's a bad plan.
But I'm like, I may go three receivers here.
Yeah.
And I was looking at Cooks, I was looking at Matthews, and I was looking at
DeAndre Hopkins. Yep.
And so I was thinking to myself, I may go running back receiver on this turn if Cooks, Matthews, and Hopkins are all there, figuring you were going to take one of those guys.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, if I can get one and still end up with maybe Hyde, with maybe Ingram, with maybe Morris,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that because now I know I have three guys that could be 100-plus catches, could be 1,500-plus yards. Well, two that could be 1,500-plus yards, but could be 1,000 in Cooks or Matthews. You know, those guys have so much upside. So it's really interesting that the Sanders pick, the Edelman pick, the two quarterbacks going, Ellington going,
mm-hmm.
pushed some talent down, especially to our end.
Right.
That worked out in a very big favor. And then into round four, which worked out for you, not taking a receiver to get Jordan Matthews, who easily has top 12 potential, especially in this format.
Let me talk about what happened in round three first.
Sure, I'm sorry.
Because this is why you should never have a hard and fast set draft strategy. You should always be willing to veer from the strategy. So, like I said, round one, the plan was to get a wide receiver in round two after I took Foster. Marshawn Lynch was there. Couldn't help myself. So now I've got Foster and Lynch. Of course I'm looking for a wide receiver in round three. Kelvin Benjamin was the one I was hoping for, the target. I like him a lot. He went a pick before me. Cooks was the next best wide receiver. But Cooks, and I can look at my PPR rankings to just tell you how I have him ranked. Cooks, Matthews, Amari Cooper I'm crazy for, DeAndre Hopkins, Emmanuel Sanders. Those are my next five, and we already know that Emmanuel Sanders went at the end of round two. The highest-ranked player on my board was Gore.
Yeah.
And I can start all three of these guys.
Right.
And I know, you know, maybe it's overkill because I'm taking too many running backs, and that's just sort of what I end up doing when I draft. But I couldn't pass on him. There was too much value there for me to let him slide. And I started my draft with three stud running backs. And I knew in my mind, yeah, round four, I better go get that receiver already. And well, I better be happy with whoever I get to be my number two. Two receiver because my number one receiver wasn't going to be in the top 12.
I'll tell you what, Matthews saved it for you.
I agree.
I like Amari Cooper too.
I was surprised he was there.
But if Amari Cooper's your one.
Yeah, that's trouble.
It's not a good situation.
And that's the price I paid for not taking Cooks over Gore. And they're very close in my top 200 PPR.
Sure.
I think they're like two spots away from each other.
I will say this, though.
To me, I think Gore's heading toward a huge season.
He could, but I mean, let's keep in mind, 32. Running backs, sometimes they change teams. They don't always have the best seasons. Mm-hmm. He's in a great situation, no doubt about it. But I just wonder, and if you want to take a look, play it out.
Go ahead.
You had gone Cooks and Matthews, three and four, the way that it ended for you, Matthews and four, mm-hmm. taking Cooks in three, who would have ended up being your flex? Because I do tend to like Foster, Lynch, Cooks, Matthews, whoever
your flex
may be. And
then my flex would have been... Probably, you know what? I think I would have taken DeSean Jackson anyway in round five,
right.
Which is who I took.
That was a good value.
And then in round six, I'd have to go and just start hunting running backs.
It's interesting. See how it would play out.
And I'll tell you one other thing. It felt good having no pressure to take running backs later on.
Yep.
Which is different for me because usually I, you know, running back.
Right.
Got to get as many as you can.
Sure.
Well, now I've got three studs. As long as I back them up, I'm on easy street.
All right. Round four, he starts it off with Carlos Hyde, which obviously you're thrilled about.
And this, I think, is a good illustration of when you're drafting on the end, at the turn every time, you have to kind of throw average draft position out a little bit. Because I think Hyde's draft position is a little bit later in round four. And if I was picking in the middle of round three, I might have looked at that and said, well, I can get him next round. There's no way Carlos Hyde's coming back to me. Even though there were some running backs like Mark Ingram and CJ Spiller mm-hmm. that have a higher ADP, I went with Hyde because he's the guy I like and yep. I don't have any other chance of getting him.
I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
And so now, just quickly, your first four picks, DeMarco Murray, Julio Jones, Brandon Cooks, Carlos Hyde. It's a nice start. It's a nice core to your team, two running backs, two wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Very even.
Good balance. And, yeah, I mean, I think Hyde's probably the biggest question mark of the four. Cooks isn't exactly a lock, but
right.
still lots of great potential. And DeMarco, obviously, is somebody that I'm not the biggest fan of. But if he does what you think he's going to do and you drafted him and there's other people who are fans of DeMarco Murray, then, yeah, you should be set.
So it starts off Hyde. I took C.J. Spiller in round four, which I know Heath hates, but I love it. DeAndre Hopkins is the next pick. Mark Ingram, Jordan Matthews to Dave, Alfred Morris, Amari Cooper, Tevin Coleman, which I think is a little too soon,
mm-hmm.
Latavius Murray, Andre Johnson, Giovanni Bernard, and Golden Tate. So this is where the non-PPR running backs outside of Spiller – are starting to come off the board, which I think is great spots for them.
They're
Hyde, Ingram, Morris, those three guys aren't going to catch Latavius. The ball. Latavius is kind of, I think, somebody that can toe the line. Helu is probably going to take a lot of that passing down.
Right. I think he is one of those backs.
But I agree. But I think Murray has the better potential to play on three downs, maybe more so than Ingram and Morris, and most likely Hyde as well.
I just say I love the round four running backs. Like this whole set of guys, even in PPR.
Yeah,
I
they're great number two guys.
I really like the fact that you can get Alfred Morris in the middle of the fourth round. Mm-hmm. You can get Latavius Murray at the end of the fourth round. I think it takes away some of that pressure of taking two running backs in the first three rounds.
If you feel that way.
Right.
But there might be some fantasy owners that hear what you just said and they go, ew.
Yeah, that's true.
And they don't feel that way about those. If they those are the guys that have to look at running back a lot earlier.
In my case, you know, you say you don't have to go hunting for running backs. I love in any PPR league where I could start Demaryius Thomas and Calvin Johnson and not have to worry about those
wide
two
receiver,
guys
yep.
at all.
Yep.
And obviously, this is a format more so than a standard format where you can have a little bit more flexibility at starting or a little more comfortability at starting a receiver at flex. But yeah, this was a good round. I think Giovanni Bernard's value goes up in PPR leagues clearly. And Spiller, we've talked about this a lot that I know you disagree, Heath, but I think he does have 70 to 80 catch potential.
And your four players so far are Demaryius, Calvin,
Lamar Miller,
and C.J. Spiller.
Yep.
A lot of catches there.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people think C.J. Spiller and Lamar Miller, that's not good.
Love
but
that.
But Miller should be fine in any format.
Yep.
And C.J. Spiller in New Orleans, keep that in mind. I think he's going to have a good year.
Round five, Joseph Randle starts off the round where he could clearly be a round four guy as well. Jarvis Landry in PPR is a very good pick. Todd Gurley, we'll see if his ADP
I think he'd go higher than
creeps
this
up.
If
maybe so.
The news was out before.
TJ Yeldon, you can argue, is a round four guy as well. Greg Olsen, Travis Kelce, we're starting to see the second tier of tight ends come off the board. Martavis Bryant, which I think is too soon in PPR, but that's fine. DeSean Jackson to Dave, Keenan Allen, who could have a big bounce back here. Jonathan Stewart, Amir Abdullah, I think we all know it took him. And then Allen Robinson to Heath, who's another good PPR guy. So, Dave, you took DeSean Jackson as your second receiver.
Didn't want it.
Great value pick there.
It is a great value pick.
Why him over Keenan Allen in PPR, though?
Because
you're a big advocate for Keenan Allen.
As I am, I just think that DeSean's a little bit safer.
Interesting.
I just think that he's just a little bit safer.
As somebody
which is a weird word to associate with DeSean Jackson.
Right.
Because when it comes to him in fantasy, he's not really safe. He's a mixed bag every week, but it's how I have it ranked. Even though I've got these neat numbers on Keenan Allen and
right.
he might get off to this great start, I kind of feel like I know what I'm getting from DeSean Jackson, and I'll take that over the, well, I think this might happen with Keenan Allen, where he bounces back and has a big third season. But I'm not sure that it's going to end up that way.
So I think this is a good place to ask the question, and I don't know what your answer is, but Brandon Cooks, you said, was the best receiver available in round three. That's the guy you would have taken if you went receiver.
If Gore was gone, if Gore and Kelvin Benjamin were gone, Cooks was probably going to be the
okay.
pick. Melvin Gordon might have been the pick, too.
Okay, so
in fact, Gordon would
you
have been
definitely like Frank Gore and DeSean Jackson more than Jonathan Stewart and Brandon Cooks.
I don't like Stewart.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay.
Now,
to me right now,
I love Brandon Cooks.
At this point in the draft, Jonathan Stewart's the biggest steal of the draft by far.
Yeah, I think late round five, I don't think I can fight you on that one. As much as I don't like him, but how can I take Jonathan Stewart in round five when I have
Well, you can, but to his point, though, Cooks, I like that scenario much better than what you did. Not that I don't like what you did, but I like this scenario better.
I had Kelce and Martavis ahead of DeSean in my queue. They went right in front of me. And Jarvis Landry would have been a great pick.
I took Abdullah with the thought of that I was going to take Abdullah and Joik Bell.
Right.
I really didn't expect you to take Joik Bell. If I had gone Joik Bell, would you have taken Abdullah? I didn't know what your thought process on this was. So
yes.
I went with the guy that I wanted, so in case I got screwed, which I did.
I think at that point, at the end of the fifth round, they're both good picks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I probably would have taken whichever one you didn't take.
Okay. So my thought process was, I tried this in a previous mock draft.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll get both. And then just lock up that backfield. And so I'm like, okay, like I said, I'm going to take the guy that I like. See what Heath does. You took Joik Bell to start round six. Allen Robinson, I think, is a great pick at the end of round five.
You don't think
five.
That's a little too soon?
It might be, but you know, he's picking on the end.
It surprised me.
He's picking on the end.
There's no chance he's getting
He's got to get him where he gets him.
I mean, which of these receivers, and you might like all of them better than Allen Robinson. I don't like any of them better than Allen Robinson. Sammy Watkins,
mm-hmm.
Brandon Marshall.
I like Marshall better, but I can understand why taking Robinson.
Roddy White.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the next?
Vincent Jackson.
Jeremy Maclin.
Look, it's totally understandable that if you want him, you take him there, and he's your third receiver. So it's not a bad gamble because he could have a big year. So if when you're picking on the ends, you explain this, you know, right. Great. You got to take the guys you want where they're available to you. I got what I consider a steal in Peyton Manning at the start of round six after Heath took Joique Bell. Sammy Watkins, as you mentioned, was right after Peyton. Then we see some quarterbacks. Drew Brees, Dave takes Matt Ryan, Brandon Marshall comes off the board, Rashad Jennings, Darren McFadden, Roddy White, LeGarrette Blount, Duke Johnson, Russell Wilson. I think it's a little too soon for Duke Johnson. I'm sure you probably agree it's too soon for LeGarrette Blount in this format. McFadden, yes. This is a pretty good spot for him. You know, I don't know if he'll return this value, but who knows how the Dallas situation will play out.
It's a pretty good spot for Rashad Jennings.
Yep, it's a good spot for Rashad Jennings as well. I want to get through a couple of rounds because Heath has to go soon, so stop me wherever you want. But Shane Vereen starts round seven, Vincent Jackson, Trey Mason, and just to piggyback on Todd Gurley, Jamie Erdahl drafted Gurley in round five. She took Trey Mason in round seven. It's probably too soon to take Mason on its own, but I think like we talked about with Adam on a previous podcast, if you go Randall, make sure you get McFadden. If you go Gurley, take Mason maybe a little sooner than he should go now that the news being what it is. Devontae Freeman, Jeremy Maclin, Michael Floyd. That was to you, right, Dave?
I took Maclin.
Oh, you took Maclin, excuse me. Maclin, Michael Floyd. Isaiah Crowell goes after Duke Johnson. I don't like that.
That's a steal.
This is round seven. I didn't take either of those guys.
Okay, you took Nelson Agholor next. Jordan Cameron, Cam Newton. I took Charles Johnson, and then Heath takes his tight end.
You stole Charles Johnson.
Well,
from
this
me.
Was, again, this is, you know, we've now done, this is what, five or six drafts together? I know the players that you like. We've been talking about this. I know the players that Dave likes. I was actually picking for somebody else, and I started taking, I was using Dave's rankings for the other player. I like to do that whenever I draft for other people because I don't want them to think that I'm biased to my own player. So,
yeah, thanks a lot. That works out great for me.
it happened to be the owner
every
picking
single time
in front of Dave.
Players I like are gone.
So, in any event, this is when you do. If you've been in leagues with people for many, many years, you know the way that they draft. You know the players that they like. I knew Heath likes Charles Johnson. I don't know if I necessarily was targeting him there. And it actually, the two guys I was looking at was Charles Johnson and Doug Martin. And so I thought I could sneak both in. You took Doug Martin to start round eight. So you took Agholor. You mentioned this on our show. Just reiterate again, taking Matthews and Agholor and why you liked him.
I love that combo. If you believe in Chip Kelly and what his system offers statistically.
Just stop there for 1 second, though. I just want to ask you, just based on something we talked about with the Packers. Last year, there was a scenario of Jordy and Randall not necessarily doing the same thing on the same page. If you're forced to start these guys, are you expecting them both to produce?
Obviously, it's going to be matchup dependent with them and quarterback dependent to a degree because the quarterbacks that Chip Kelly's had haven't actually been showstoppers, but they still have produced nice numbers for the wide receivers. The number one wide receiver in Philadelphia each of the last two seasons, well over 1,000 yards, tons of touchdowns. The number two receiver, 8 touchdowns and about 850 yards.
And that was Riley Cooper and Matthews last year.
Right, so I'm banking on whether it's Matthews and Agholor or Agholor and Matthews. One of those guys is going to be the 1,000-yard, 9 touchdown guy. The other one's going to be the 850 yards, 8 touchdown
and
guy.
Week five, you're picking up Josh Huff. We go into round eight. You take Doug Martin. What are you expecting from him this year?
You know, I think I'm expecting running back 3 production. I'm expecting he wins the starting job for the majority of the year. I think he's maybe not – he wasn't ever as good as he was that rookie year. And his stats were overblown because of the monster game he had against the Raiders where he scored like –
And the Vikings. And the Vikings. They were back-to-back games.
He had like 30% of his fantasy production against the Raiders and Vikings. Games. Yeah, so he wasn't ever that good. And I feel like maybe he's turned into a post-type sleeper.
I totally agree. The off-season reports have been glowing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that's why I wanted him. Kudos to you to take him. I picked next in round 8. I took David Johnson, then Julius Thomas, Reggie Bush, whose value gets a little higher in PPR leagues. Ryan Matthews was next, Ben Roethlisberger, Matthew Stafford, Kevin White, Breshad Perriman, John Brown, Danny Woodhead, Kyle Rudolph. I want to get through one more round. Do you have time for one more round?
One more round.
One more round, then you just talk about your team, and then we'll let you go. Victor Cruz starts off round 9. Tom Brady, which I think this is a safe spot for him. You know, you can argue Dave probably good value, but I think this is where you're going to see him start to fall. The Seahawks, the ST, we all know that's too soon. Zach Ertz, Jason Witten, Charles Sims, David Cobb, Devontae Parker to Dave, correct?
Nope.
No?
Yeah. I'm just going to say no and then yeah.
Devontae Adams was next. Chris Ivory, which could be somewhat of a steal here. I just thought Nile Davis was sitting on the board too long, so I took him here. And then Heath took Mike Wallace. So let's just recap Heath's team, and then he can go do his video. Your quarterbacks are, you want to read your team, or you want me to do it?
Yes, I got it. Ryan Tannehill, Sam Bradford. Looked like I may have waited around too late at running back when Dave decided to take Tony.
Quarterback. You keep saying
quarterback. Tony Romo is basically a running back. No. at quarterback when Dave decided to take Romo as his second quarterback in round 10. But then when
exceptional value, brother.
It was. When I got Tannehill at the end of round 11, and I think if they both play 16 games, I'd rather have Tannehill than Tom Brady, who went in the ninth anyways.
I understand.
I'm happy with Tannehill as my quarterback one, and then I very rarely draft a second quarterback in these things, but we talked about the whole Sam Bradford thing and maybe taking him at the end, so I took him.
Not a bad pick.
I took him in, I think it was round 12, maybe, and you know, he could go nuts in Chip Kelly's system.
One thing,
for 4 weeks.
The people in our free leagues only draft 14 rounds. In our commissioner product, you can do as many rounds as you want.
Right.
So we tend to go around longer.
Mm-hmm.
Which the way I view it, I'm going to typically end up taking a second quarterback
right. In
these scenarios, because unless there's just, you know, value after value after value, the quarterbacks just tend to sit there because not a lot of our owners take two quarterbacks. But anyway,
I really, really, really like my running backs.
Yeah, it's a great group.
Maybe my best running backs that I've had, at least personally in drafts, DeMarco Murray, Carlos Hyde, Joique Bell, Doug Martin, and Buck Allen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of upside there.
I think there's also there's going to be question marks with every group of running backs because they're running backs.
Right.
I think you could say the same thing with this one. There's lots of upside, but there's also DeMarco just got paid, got banged up.
Right.
Who knows exactly how effective he'll be, especially compared to last year.
Yeah.
Carlos Hyde's on the Niners. What if they tank? Joique Bell, just ask Jamie about what's wrong with Joique Bell.
I love Joique Bell in round 6.
I don't like where you take Joique Bell, but I like where he took Joique Bell.
Oh,
if I had stuck to my board, I would have taken Joique Bell in round 5. But so, I didn't because and then Doug Martin, Buck Allen.
Because I have to leave in a second, I do think if we're ranking running backs, yours are better than mine, mine are better than Jamie's. If we're ranking receivers, Jamie's are better than mine are better than yours. My receivers, Julio Jones, Brandon Cooks, Allen Robinson, and then Torrey Smith and Mike Wallace. I don't particularly like either one of those guys, but I took both of them so late.
Absolutely good value.
So yeah. I feel like they're both good values there.
I did that with Colston. Same thing. You're seeing a guy that's going to be on the field a lot, no matter how terrible they may be.
Right.
They play in offenses that are going
to be. Yeah, you don't have to start him.
Yep.
Martellus,
in Heath's team, you probably will never start either one.
Martellus Bennett, not a guy I'm super crazy about, but I feel like at the end of the 7th round, that's pretty good value for him.
In a PPR,
who cares who my D even the kicker? I took the Panthers and Sean.
I like the Panthers D.
I like them fine. But.
Very, very solid team, especially if Tannehill sticks to what he did last year. If you get the number 10 quarterback back, again, you're going to be in good shape, and I think we all agree he could.
So that's a good example of a team that just waits and waits and waits for a
quarterback. I will say, though, if you have Romo at the top of this list, it's a much better team.
Yes.
And certainly puts you in a much better position. All right, let's get back.
Last thing before I leave, because I have to go. Best team not in this room, and you can read off his team after I leave, Chris Towers.
Chris Towers' team is very good. I also think Jamie Erdahl's team is very good as well. We can read that as well.
All right, so now
we're back
what do you
want to do? To round 10. I'll read the rounds quickly. If something jumps out at you, let me know. Torrey Smith, Jay Ajayi, Bishop Sankey, Packers DST, Tony Romo to you, Matt Jones, Texas DST, Jonas Gray, Anquan Boldin, Charles Clay, Brandon LaFell, Doriel Green Beckham. I took Ajayi here. I now have the Dolphins backfield locked up.
Smart.
This so makes my team even better than I think it is.
I'm starting to really recommend taking Ajayi with Lamar Miller.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's really starting, in my mind, to become one of those big time handcuffs.
I think
right up toward the Nile Davis, Alfred Blue group.
I'll say this: we know the rookies that we're promoting, right? Mm, Gurley now gets better. Ajayi, Buck Allen, Matt Jones, and maybe to a lesser extent Jeremy Langford. These four guys, for maybe a stretch, maybe for a significant stretch, could be somewhat of difference makers if the guy in front of them gets hurt, because they have an opportunity. Maybe Josh Robinson as well. You know, these are all guys that you can look at with late round picks in relatively productive offenses, especially if the guy in front of them goes down, that they could be very good.
Right. And just as far as taking Romo, it was pick 113. I mean, look at the other names that were available in round 10 when I was up. I'm going to take, you know, Matt Jones or Jonas Gray or Anquan Boldin ahead of this. I liked my team so much. Maybe you could make a case for Boldin being that pick there just to add a little extra stability to my receiving core. I think Romo's just a tremendous value there.
Yeah.
I took advantage.
Absolutely. Trent Richardson starts off round 11. That was a strange pick, but whatever. Cody Latimer, I was kind of hoping he would fall to me. He did not. Steve Smith, who I think is a great value pick here. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning, this is another example. Marone Bergson waiting on a quarterback. That's a starter. Love that in round 11. Darren Sproles, Larry Fitzgerald, another great value pick. Eric Decker, good value pick. Alfred Blue to you, correct?
Yep.
To back up Foster. Very smart.
It's a must.
Terrence Williams, Pierre Garçon's good in PPR. I took Marcus Colston. Like I said, I have no problem taking him as a fourth receiver that late. And then Ryan Tannehill to Heath. There's his first quarterback.
So two starting quarterbacks ended up going in round 11.
Yes.
Right, which is just another example of, yeah, I know every league's different. There's some leagues where quarterbacks are going to go in the first round and people are going to
most leagues,
gravitate.
Quarterbacks go much higher than
sure.
us.
Sure, and you don't have to follow that trend if you don't want to.
Well, unless your league is just ridiculous, they start taking backups in round 7.
Well, yeah, if that happens, then I think you got to get a move on.
Buck Allen to Heath. I took Delanie Walker in round 12. I love that. Monte Ball, Dwayne Bowe, Antonio Gates to you, right?
Yeah, I was looking at Delanie, too.
Kendall Wright, which is a good sleeper in PPR leagues. D'Angelo Williams, it's a good spot for him for Le'Veon Bell. Owner, the Cardinals DST, Dan Heron, who I think is going to be the handcuff to the, Frank Gore. Mm-hmm. Andre Williams, not great in PPR, but good value here. Doug Baldwin, the Bills DST. And then we'll stop at round 13 with Michael Crabtree. Again, another strange pick to me. Phillip Rivers, Jamie Erdahl. She had Adrian Peterson. She took Jerick McKinnon. Devin Funchess, Percy Harvin, Jay Cutler, Carson Palmer. The Jets DST to Dave, Jalen Strong. Josh Hill, Teddy Bridgewater to me. And then Heath takes the Panthers DST. So go ahead and read your team real
quick. Yeah, I got Matt Ryan and Tony Romo. Didn't think I'd get both those guys, but Romo slipped. My first three picks were running backs. Aaron Foster, Marshawn Lynch, Frank Gore. Ryan Matthews made his way onto my team.
Good pick.
Alfred Blue and Robert Turbin are there to back up Foster and Lynch, respectively. My receivers might be gross to you. It's not to me. Jordan Matthews, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Agholor, Devontae Parker. Yes, two rookie wide receivers, but two I like a lot. One of them in Parker, who I can definitely wait on. I know he's not going to begin the season on time. Gates is my tight end. I will find somebody off waivers and start that person.
Who
at
are
tight
you
end.
Cutting in week one to pick up Antonio Gates for playing out? Turbin or Blue?
I think it would have to be Turbin because I think people would go after Blue if he
now,
was out on waivers.
Now, here's a scenario for you. Lynch is a little banged up going into week one.
Well, then I can't do it.
You drop Blue?
I might have to.
What if Foster's a little banged up going into week one?
It's time to make a trade.
Are you cutting Gates?
I think the last ditch would be cutting Gates or cutting Gostkowski and playing without a kicker if I can get away with that. Depends on the league rules. But
probably not.
Okay, then if that's against the league rules, then, yeah, I might have to bite the bullet. But I can trade Romo and get, you know, I'll take a bath on the deal and end up losing out on it.
Why don't you just cut Gates, though? Nobody's going to pick him up.
Oh, no, someone will definitely pick up Gates.
You're the only person I've ever seen draft Antonio Gates since the suspension's been happening.
That's fine. I'll take him.
I think you can get away with cutting Antonio
Gates. When
it's
super late, I'll take him.
My team is Peyton Manning and Teddy Bridgewater. Like I said, I got Peyton in round 6. I have no problem taking Bridgewater late. Lamar Miller, C.J. Spiller, Amir Abdullah, David Johnson, Nile Davis, and Jay Ajayi. I wasn't going to let Nile Davis fall any further than he did. I love that lottery ticket. I love having the Dolphins backfield.
Yeah,
I like
that's
Abdullah.
Why I took Ryan Matthews.
Yep.
Lottery ticket.
Absolutely. I love Abdullah. I like Abdullah better than Joique Bell. As you heard, I was trying to get both. My receivers, Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, Charles Johnson is one of my favorite sleepers this year. Third-year breakout type guy. And then Colston late. Love Delanie Walker. I got him. Rams DST and Matt Bryant. Let's get to some emails and wrap this puppy up.
Yes, sir.
From Brian in a town in central Indiana.
Let's go with Carmel. Home of Sigma Alpha Mu.
Good choice. I enjoyed the discussion of keepers and drafting strategy on recent podcasts. I have the option of keeping Russell Wilson in the 7th or Mark Ingram in the 12th in a 12-team PPR league. I already have Le'Veon Bell and Alshon Jeffrey as keepers, and he picks 11th in the first round. I'm taking Ingram.
Yeah, just a much better value. Wilson in the 7th you might be able to get if you throw him back anyway. You're no way you're getting Mark Ingram there. That's
What concerns you about Ingram?
He's not going to be that every down guy. I look at him and I see 225 carries and touchdown dependency. I'm worried that he'll be good, not great.
See,
and
I
that
think
he'll fall just short of that third round.
How many carries do you have?
Of expectation.
I want to say
I believe it's a career high, whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on the carries, and I think the fact of the change in philosophy where the goal line work will not be as much pass-dependent and will be a little bit more run-dependent.
See, I don't know if I buy that at the goal line. I might buy that in other aspects, but I bet that they don't vary too much when they're inside the 5.
I guess probably we're splitting hairs on what too much is. I think you're going to, you know, see
how many goal line carries did he get last year?
I don't know. I just think it's going to go up because you lose the, you know, arguably the one of, if not one of the top two goal line producers in football and strengthen your offensive line. That allows
last year
a hammer.
I agree that they want to run better, and that's why they got what they got on the O-line. Last year he had 1,100 total yards, 9 touchdowns.
But what was his
carries? I feel like that's a ceiling, 226. Career high by 70 carries.
Yep. See, I think he'll be closer to 250. Okay. Next email is from Craig in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hello, Charlie, Mac, and Frank.
No idea. Is that, I don't know what that is. You want me to look it up?
Sure. Okay. 12-team, two-quarterback PPR keeper league. We're going to do our 2QB mock on Friday. It will be 10 teams. So maybe this will help you, maybe it won't. You got it?
Yeah. But it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
We've had that one before. I almost said it, but I didn't want to say something incorrect.
He can keep up to two players, Peyton Manning in the first round, Alshon Jeffrey in the fourth round, Golden Tate in the seventh round, Teddy Bridgewater in the 15th round. If he keeps Peyton, it would be his last year eligibility. That's not a big thing because Peyton could retire. Everyone else would have two more years of eligibility. And if he keeps Peyton, or if he doesn't keep Peyton, he could end up drafting Jamal Charles, Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, or LeSean McCoy in the first round. So
let's start with Alshon Jeffrey definitely being the fourth round keeper.
Or does he go to the two quarterbacks in the 2QB league? Peyton in one and Bridgewater in 15.
That's interesting. But I'm more inclined to keep Bridgewater.
And Jeffrey?
And Jeffrey. And probably draft a running back in the first round. I don't know. I might take Peyton. Where does he pick in the first round? Does he say?
No.
It's not like he's got the top pick and he can throw back Peyton and then redraft him if he wants to.
My guess would be probably somewhere in the first eight picks.
Okay. I'm gonna throw back Peyton.
And go Jeffrey and Bridgewater?
Yeah.
Bridgewater to me is a must.
Yeah, and I think Jeffrey with the value, especially in a PPR. Yep.
Look, the good thing is he could, as you said, he could keep Jeffrey, keep Bridgewater, and maybe draft Peyton again. So you get all three guys, which is a good situation.
Right, and if you, it sounds like the consolation for not taking Peyton would be one of those other running backs. Let's
think about this, though. So Jeffrey, for most part in our leagues, he went in this draft. It's a non-2QB league. It's a standard PPR league. Went in round three.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jeffrey get pushed back because the quarterbacks get pushed
I want to keep Alshon Jeffrey at that value for two more years.
But does he get pushed into round four regardless of when he's drafted or
because
kept anyway?
Because it's a two-quarterback league? Yeah, it's possible, but I don't know if I can bank on that. He might go like late third round.
So you're not getting much value out of it.
You're not, but at least you're keeping him for two more years at a fourth-round value. If he has a big year this year, there's no way he's going to last in the fourth round next year.
Fair enough.
And same thing with Bridgewater.
Seth from York, Pennsylvania. Dear Lucky Day, Ned Nederlander and Dusty Bottoms. Is that,
you know that
Simpsons?
No. What? Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know that.
Should I do the thing that they do?
Sure. Stand up and dance.
All right. Well, then I'm going to thrust in your face. I don't know if
you you're on the opposite of the desk, and I can look down.
Huh!
There you go.
There it is.
The settings of my league have
Where's my sombrero?
The settings of my league have given me the first choice of what draft slot I want this year. What spot do you prefer for a 14-team 0.25 PPR league? The starting positions are quarterback, two wide receivers, two running backs, tight end, flex. Quarterbacks go quick, and when would you look to take a quarterback? So you like picking middle, right?
No. The advice that I give is make a list of all the elite running backs you like and you'd be happy with taking, and whatever number that is, that's where you should pick in round one.
I like going first. I want to control my own destiny.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
But that, see, and when you say that, that tells me, A, that you really like Le'Veon Bell, because that's who you have ranked number one, and B, that you, and I think I know this just from drafting with you, that you can get two really good receivers or receiver tight end coming back on the swing.
And especially
in two and three.
Especially in this league, if he knows quarterbacks go early. So let's just assume
he'll end up with two top 12 wide receivers.
End up with another good running back. Luck and Rodgers are off the board. It could push somebody like Jeremy Hill, who we've seen fall middle to the end of round two in some leagues, could push him down.
Right.
And maybe Peyton goes, maybe Breeze goes, maybe Russell Wilson goes.
Right. So as I look at the running backs now, there's seven that I would be completely happy with as a first-round pick. So I would say I'd be fine picking seventh this year, which is exactly what you said, right in the middle.
Right. This
it's like
is
you know
from
me better than I know myself.
French in a parish in Louisiana of Dave's choice.
A parish in Louisiana. Is Jefferson one, or am I making stuff up? I don't know. No one cares.
All right. Dear Melchior, Casper, and Balthazar.
What?
I know who Balthazar is, but I'm blanking on it.
I'm too busy looking up whether or not there's a Jefferson Parish. It is. There is one.
I have the 14th pick in a 14-team redraft PPR league. I'm bouncing back and forth between two different strategies. It's between running back, or running back wide receiver for my first two picks. What would you all do? I appreciate any insight, and thanks for your royal advice.
I'd keep them both in mind, and
just keep it open.
I love the way my team started with receiver.
Uh-huh.
And I would absolutely do it again if you can. In a PPR.
In a PPR, go receiver.
At the end of round one.
But if there's a running back that you like that slips to you, you're obviously going to change your mind.
Yeah, but I had the opportunity in this. I could have taken Marshawn Lynch. I could have taken Jeremy Hill.
Yeah, that's true.
I think getting Demaryius and Calvin, any two of those top four or five guys, really sets up your team. Now, he's in Louisiana. C.J. Spiller or Mark Ingram may not slip, but we said Latavius Murray's there. Carlos Hyde's there. Lamar Miller could be there. Melvin Gordon could be there.
You're
a lot of guys.
That there will be someone there when you pick again in
absolutely.
Rounds 3 and 4 that you'll be at least okay.
Knowing what you're getting at those two receivers, at those two spots, I think you'd be in great shape.
And if you're worried about it, just go running back receiver, and have two running backs and two wide receivers, you know, by the time you're done. That's what Heath did.
From Roger, in a beach city that doesn't have sharks attacking it.
Huntington Beach, California.
Dear picking boogers, cats, and Odell Beckham. All things Adam is doing right now. My league is switching to an auction, and I'm really worried about it. I'd say about 3 or 4 players have done one before, including me. How have you seen auction noobs act, and which strategy do you endorse? Is it noobs or knobs?
You'd have to ask a coach on that one.
The big three or balanced budget spending?
Oh, gosh. I always tier up my players. You know the tiers that I do every year? It's actually something I do to help me prepare for auctions that I'm in. And then when I see a tier getting low on players, typically I try and aim for the last player in the tier, knowing what the other 3, 4, 5 players in the same tier went for, and I can kind of use that as a guide for what I should spend for this last
player. Do you typically spend big on any particular players, or do you like to balance it up? Or it doesn't matter to you?
I've done both ways. I think there are so many great bargains in the second half of an auction that it's worth it to go big on one or two players you really, really like, and then just, you know, settle up the rest of your team with $1 and $2 guys.
And we'll be doing our auction very soon. Last email is from Jason in New York. Dear Math Data and Mouth Data and Chunk.
You know what that's from.
The Goonies.
Yeah.
Keepers have to be declared by today. So hopefully Jason's listening to this. Can keep from 0 to 9 players. Struggling with who should be my final two from 3 players out of Jerick McKinnon, Joseph Randle, and Dante Moncrief. He really likes McKinnon and Moncrief's ability and upside. Well, he may know they'd be unusable this year. So this sounds like more like a dynasty league, whereas Randle could be great this year but could also disappear.
He's calling it a dynasty league. Typically in a dynasty league, you keep everybody. This is like an extensive keeper league.
No, I think it's dynasty league.
No, you don't have to keep everybody. You keep everybody. Well, yeah, you can throw players back, but it's at your discretion.
So he's keeping already LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray, Demaryius Thomas, A.J. Green, Keenan Allen, and John Brown, and his tight ends, Travis Kelce. That's obviously a great start and a great team.
Well, Randle is a must. I don't even know why he's, you know, stuck here. It's like the Monopoly man being stuck between, you know, homeless guy.
You're taking the chance that he could be great now and then potentially could be great down the road. And do you think that McKinnon could be the starter for the Vikings if they move on from Peterson?
Well, one of these teams drafted a wide receiver in the first round with blazing speed and a better skill set than the other guy.
Yeah, but
I think Moncrief's in trouble.
Would you be shocked if they let T.Y. Hilton walk?
No.
And Andre Johnson is 1,000 years old, and they let him go next year, and they go with Moncrief and Dorsett as their top two guys.
It's possible, but I think if they really liked Moncrief, they wouldn't have drafted Dorsett. I think if they really liked Moncrief.
They have a contract receiver that may leave, and they brought in an older veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know you love Philip Dorsett, and you have every reason to, but Moncrief could still be their third guy very easily.
I did like Moncrief in college. McKinnon is definitely a long-term look, but if anything were to ever happen to Adrian Peterson, he's on the field.
Oh, I'm keeping McKinnon.
I'm keeping McKinnon.
I just think it's
worth playing devil's advocate.
Not necessarily throwing
we're
back
Moncrief. Spending a minute and a half on McKinnon versus Moncrief.
All right, I'll let Dave wrap it up because he's good at that, but we'll be back Friday for the 2QB mock.
Yeah, we're going to do a 2-quarterback draft. We'll talk about that and the quarterbacks that we take there. And training camps are opening everywhere. Do us a favor. Go to Amazon.com. Buy our fantasy football draft preview magazine. We teamed up with Beckett Sports. We put it together. Jamie and I provided pretty much all the content that you'll find in the magazine. There's stuff in there that you will not find on the website. And it's great. And for $8, the magazine is delivered directly to your door. Go to Amazon.com, search for CBS Fantasy Football Magazine. You will get it. Odell Beckham is on the cover. And you will be better prepared for your leagues than you would be buying any other magazine or reading any other website.
in the world. Thank you for doing that. Jamie, thank you for being here.
Thank you, buddy.
Guys, we'll be back on Friday for more fun. Send in those questions. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. For Dave, I haven't done this in a while. Oh, it's like, for Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Dave Richards. Thanks for coming. Bye.